College English Test, Band 4.
Part 2, Listening Comprehension. Section A, Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 1. I can't stop thinking about my research.
Neither can I. I am working on my thesis day and night.
What does the man mean?
Question 2.
Do you think the price of our meals will go up next term?
There is no question about it.
What does the woman mean?
Question 3.
I wish I could find that new grocery store. It must be around here somewhere.
Maybe you ought to ask the newsstand. They are often helpful.
What does the woman suggest the man do?
Question 4. Thanks for bringing the books back.
I thought you need them to study over the weekend. Thanks for letting me use them.
What had the man done?
Question 5.
Hello, Mrs. White. What can I do for you?
I don't know what's the matter with me. I'm always feeling tired. I'm usually worn out at the end of the day.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 6.
This projector is out of order, and I need it for my presentation.
There's a spare in the storeroom.
What does the woman mean?
Question 7. Could you review my report, Dave?
Review yours? I haven't even outlined mine yet.
What can be inferred from the conversation? Question 8. There's a thunderstorm watch for this afternoon.
Ah, nuts. I was about to drive home.
What does the man imply?
Now you'll hear the 2 long conversations. Conversation 1.
John, have you chosen physical education class yet for this semester?
No, why?
You've got to take rock climbing. We just had the first class, and it looks like it's gonna be great.
You think I should take rock climbing? You've got to be kidding. Besides, how can they teach rock climbing when it's completely flat around here?
That's not important. You can't just start climbing without any training. You have to get in shape, learn how to use the ropes, the belts, the buckles. There's a lot of preparation first.
You don't think it's just a little bit dangerous?
Not if you know how to use the safety equipment, which is, by the way, pretty high tech. The ropes were made of elastic fabrics that stretch a little. The shoes have special grates on the bottom, and the helmets are made of some kind of special plastic. You have to learn how to use all these before you do any real climbing.
Well, what's the appeal? We'll spend the whole semester studying something we don't actually get to do.
We will take a climbing trip during spring break, but that's not the point. Climbing is not the only goal. In preparing to climb, you learn patience, mental discipline, and you gain fantastic physical strength, especially in your hands. For the first few weeks, we can concentrate entirely on hand and upper body exercises.
All that in one sport? Maybe you are right. Since it's not too late to join the class, maybe I will.
Questions 9 to 11 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 9. What does the man imply about rock climbing at their college? Question 10. Why is the woman interested in rock climbing? Question 11. What will the first few classes focus on?
Conversation 2. Math Department, Dr. Webster speaking.
Hello, Professor Webster. This is Janet Hill calling. I live two doors down from your teaching assistant, Don Williams. Don asked me to call you because he has lost his voice and can't talk to you himself.
Lost his voice? Oh, what a shame. Is there anything I can do for him?
Well, he has a class this afternoon from 2:30 to 4. And he won't be able to teach it, but he doesn't want to cancel it either.
Does he want me to try to find somebody else to teach the class?
No, not exactly. What he wants to do is to get someone to go in for him, just to pass back the midterm exams. He's already marked them, and they are on the desk in his office. The whole thing wouldn't take more than 10 minutes.
His class is at 2:30, you say? Well, I'm free at that time, and I was going to be on campus anyway, so I could do it for him. What room is his class in?
Cater Hall, room 214. Will you need his office key to get the exams? He's given it to me, and I could bring it to you.
Actually, that won't be necessary. We have a master key in the math department, so I can get into his office if necessary.
Thank you very much, Professor Webster. Don doesn't have another class to teach until Thursday, and hopefully he will be able to talk by then. He'll call you as soon as he can. Oh yes, I almost forgot.
Yes?
Could you put the next assignment on the board too? It's all the problems on page 45, and they are due at the next class.
No trouble at all. Thanks for passing on the news about Don. And please tell him not to worry about anything.
Questions 12 to 15 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 12. What is Don's problem? Question 13. What favor does Don want someone to do for him? Question 14. What does Janet offer to do? Question 15. What does Janet almost forget to tell Professor Webster?
Section B, Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. We are rapidly nearing the end of this course. In the history of classical music, we have covered several centuries in a very short time. Much too short to do the music justice, of course. But then this is a survey course. From now until the end of the term, we'll be talking about and listening to electronic music. You probably already know it was in the 1950s that musical computers and synthesizers first appeared in universities. The first commercial synthesizers were sold about this time too. The sophistication and complexity of these instruments has now increased to the point that they can produce almost any kind of sound. Some alarmists believe these new instruments will bring an end to classical music, or they already have. You know, I don't share this view, though I agree we are in the midst of a revolution in instrument design. This, however, is not the first such revolution in musical history, and probably not the last one either. Remember, we've already studied a similar case in the early 19th century, when the piano replaced the harpsichord, and modern brass and wind instruments came into being. One of the most important reasons for the great popularity of electronic instruments is, of course, their relatively cheap price. Well, just look at it. Only about $400 for an electronic keyboard compared to nearly $3,000 for a piano. Naturally, this has done a lot to increase sales of electronic instruments. But I don't think even the most ardent supporters of electronic instruments expect them to completely replace acoustic instruments.
Questions 16 to 18 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 16. What is the speaker's main topic? Question 17. What is the speaker's opinion of the idea that electronic instruments will destroy classical music? Question 18. When does the speaker say another significant change in instrument design took place? Passage 2. Bows and arrows are one of man's oldest weapons. They gave early man an effective weapon to kill his enemies.
the ordinary bow or short bow was used by nearly all early people. This bow had limited power and a short range. However, man overcame these faults by learning to track his targets at close range. The longbow was most likely discovered when someone found out that a 5-foot piece of wood made a better bow than a 3-foot piece. Hundreds of thousands of these bows were made and used for 300 years. However, not one is known to survive today. We believe that a force of about 100 pounds was needed to pull the string all the way back on a longbow. For a long time, the bow was just a bent stick and string. In fact, more changes have taken place in a bow in the last 25 years than in the last 7 centuries. Today's bow is forceful. It is as exact as a gun. In addition, it requires little strength to draw the string. Modern bows also have precise aiming devices. In indoor contests, perfect scores from 40 yards are common. The invention of the bow itself ranks with discovery of fire and the wheel. It was a great step forward for man.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 19.
Why did man have to track his targets at close range when using a short bow?
Question 20.
What does the passage tell us about the long bow?
Question 21.
What do we know about modern bows? Passage 3. How many of you drink cola? Nearly everybody. Did you know that cola started out not as a soft drink, but as a cure for headaches back in the late 1800s? John S. Pemberton, a druggist from Atlanta, had experimented for many months trying to find a cure for the common headache. He worked in his backyard, mixing and heating different combinations of oils and flavors, until he found one that seemed promising. Pemberton bottled the mixture and began selling it in drugstores as a concentrated syrup that the customer had to mix with water before drinking. Cola's transformation from a medicinal syrup to a carbonated soft drink came about quite by accident. One day a customer came into a drugstore complaining of a headache and asked for a bottle of cola syrup. He wanted to take it right away, so he asked the clerk to mix the medicine while he waited. The clerk, instead of walking to the other end of the counter to get plain water, suggested mixing the syrup with soda water. The customer agreed, and after drinking it, remarked how good it tasted. The clerk continued offering the mix, and carbonated cola grew in popularity. Today, carbonated colas are sold in most countries around the world. And although they no longer contain the ingredients used to cure headaches, they are still very refreshing.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 22. What does the speaker mainly discuss? Question 23. How was cola originally sold?
Question 24. Why does the speaker mention John Pemberton? Question 25. How is cola syrup made into a soft drink?
Section C, Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks with the exact words you have just heard. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written.
Now listen to the passage. A survey showed that American women are more concerned about losing weight than they are about suffering from cancer, heart disease, or diabetes. More than half of the 3,000 women questioned in the poll by Meredith Corporation and NBC Universal were worried about diet and weight, compared to 23% who were concerned about cancer and 20% who were anxious about their cardiovascular health. The women were asked to identify the health issues they were concerned about from a list of 20 problems. The survey showed many women thought they should be slimmer, with more than 80% saying they were overweight. But just 43% said they were exercising at least 3 times a week, and 11% played team and individual sports. And less than 2/3 of all women said they get an annual physical. These findings should be a wake-up call to American women everywhere to make their yearly checkups without fail and make their own personal health a top priority, said Diane Salvatore, editor-in-chief of Ladies Home Journal, which is published by Meredith Corporation. While the majority of women said they were overweight, 68% said they were satisfied with their identity and development as an individual. But 40% said it was wrong for a man to tell a woman she was overweight. To improve their health, 26% of women said they took natural herbs and supplements, while 25% bought or adopted a pet, according to the survey. 4% visited a spiritual or religious leader, and 1% went to a hypnotist. Now the passage will be read again.
A survey showed that American women are more concerned about losing weight than they are about suffering from cancer, heart disease, or diabetes. More than half of the 3,000 women questioned in the poll by Meredith Corporation and NBC Universal were worried about diet and weight, compared to 23% who were concerned about cancer and 20% who were anxious about their cardiovascular health. The women were asked to identify the health issues they were concerned about from a list of 20 problems. The survey showed many women thought they should be slimmer, with more than 80% saying they were overweight. But just 43% said they were exercising at least 3 times a week, and 11% played team and individual sports. And less than 2/3 of all women said they get an annual physical. These findings should be a wake-up call to American women everywhere to make their yearly checkups without fail and make their own personal health a top priority, said Diane Salvatore, editor-in-chief of Ladies Home Journal, which is published by Meredith Corporation. While the majority of women said they were overweight,
68% said they were satisfied with their identity and development as an individual. But 40% said it was wrong for a man to tell a woman she was overweight. To improve their health, 26% of women said they took natural herbs and supplements, while 25% bought or adopted a pet, according to the survey. 4% visited a spiritual or religious leader, and 1% went to a hypnotist.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. A survey showed that American women are more concerned about losing weight than they are about suffering from cancer, heart disease, or diabetes. More than half of the 3,000 women questioned in the poll by Meredith Corporation and NBC Universal were worried about diet and weight, compared to 23% who were concerned about cancer and 20% who were anxious about their cardiovascular health. The women were asked to identify the health issues they were concerned about from a list of 20 problems. The survey showed many women thought they should be slimmer, with more than 80% saying they were overweight. But just 43% said they were exercising at least 3 times a week, and 11% played team and individual sports. And less than 2/3 of all women said they get an annual physical. These findings should be a wake-up call to American women everywhere to make their yearly checkups without fail and make their own personal health a top priority, said Diane Salvatore, editor-in-chief of Ladies Home Journal, which is published by Meredith Corporation. While the majority of women said they were overweight, 68% said they were satisfied with their identity and development as an individual. But 40% said it was wrong for a man to tell a woman she was overweight. To improve their health, 26% of women said they took natural herbs and supplements, while 25% bought or adopted a pet, according to the survey. 4% visited a spiritual or religious leader, and 1% went to a hypnotist. This is the end of Listening Comprehension.